Hey, I want to tell you about a new mini course that I have. It's called the 5-Minute Shift. One of the most frequent questions that I get from people on social media and clients is, how do I stop feeling anxious? How do I stop feeling upset? How do I stop feeling angry at my spouse? How do I stop feeling a certain way and get to something that feels better? This mini course is to answer that question. It's a 30-minute video. You get a cheat sheet and the slides, plus a Q&A and a why this works video. But really all you need is the 30-minute video, the how-to. It's a process I use every single day, multiple times a day. I have clients who use it and have experienced huge changes in their life. And if you practice this method over and over again, I promise you'll be able to shift any emotion in around 90 seconds to about 5 minutes. So if you're somebody who feels like you get stuck in emotions, you stew in emotions, you spiral in them, and you really wish that you could get out of them and it didn't involve scrolling or eating or shopping or any of that, this is for you. It's $29. There's a link in the show notes, and I hope you enjoy it. Welcome back to Calmer Conversations, the podcast where you learn how to help your brain become a calmer place to be so that it's easier to feel exactly how you want to feel in your daily life. Whether that's feeling calm and confident, content, or even joyful, or just like you've done enough of the right things at the end of the day, or all of the above. I'm Cecilia Mandrick. I'm a certified life coach, yoga therapist, and founder of the Calm Brain Academy. If you're ready to shift the patterns of self-sabotage, procrastination, daily overwhelm, people-pleasing, and perfectionism, you're in the right place. Not only is it possible to change the conversation between your brain and your body, when you do, you'll change your life in the process. And you're one step closer just by joining me today. Ready? Let's dive in. Hey, and welcome to Calmer Conversations. I'm Cecilia, your host. Today, I'm going to share two variations of a question that I use all the time and talk about how you might use them in your life. Okay, so before we get started, let's settle in. Let's spend a moment grounding and centering. If you're driving, if you're walking, if you're sitting at a desk or lying on a couch listening to this, wherever you are, see if you can take the next 60 seconds or so to come back into the present moment. If you can, you might place a hand on your body. You might feel the ground beneath your feet or the seat beneath your sits bones. You might give yourself a wiggle or a shake. You could take a few intentional breaths, maybe making a sigh or a sound for the exhale. And on the inhale, you might see what you can notice, what's present for you right now. And on the exhale, you might see if you can either just allow whatever is there to be there, or if you found something that you're ready to let go of, see if with the exhale, you can let it go. So that as you breathe in, you're becoming present, maybe with sounds around you or smells or some physical sensation within your body. And as you breathe out, you're practicing that gentle allowing, or that gentle letting go. Seeing if you can be here in this moment without making yourself wrong, without making whatever is happening wrong. And then you might ask yourself, what is it that I want from today? How am I showing up for myself? Is there anything that I need? Could I give it to myself if it's something like a glass of water? And then as you feel ready, you might wiggle or shake, blink your eyes a few times and come back. Welcome. I hope you're having an amazing day. These are two questions that I use all the time. So you don't have to believe everything you think. I've said that several times, right? Your brain is not a truth teller. And the two questions, I'm going to get them out. I'm not going to make you wait the entire episode like some people do, which is also fine. Is it true, or what else could be true right now? And these questions I use all the time with my brain. Is this true? Is this ultimately true? And this is kind of similar to Byron Katie's The Work, right? And it's like, is this 100% true right now? Right? Overthinking for a lot of us, if you're an overthinker, hi, welcome. I am a recovering overthinker. It means that you spend a lot of time in your brain thinking out scenarios, replaying conversations, maybe from last week, maybe from 10 minutes ago, maybe from a decade ago, thinking about what you might have said differently, thinking about maybe what's going to happen in the future. Whatever your flavor of overthinking is, it's super common. But know that overthinking is a coping strategy. It's a strategy your brain has developed to protect you, to try and control outcomes, and try and predict the future.
Right. So your brain is trying to use this overthinking, its capacity to think, to protect you, to control things, to predict the future in some way. And it wants to do these because it ultimately wants to feel safe, right? It's all these things. It's trying to feel safe. It's trying to save energy in the future. It's trying to create outcomes that are positive for you. And so know that while this might not be comfortable, your brain is not trying to hurt you. It's trying to actually help you. But the thing is, for most of us who are overthinkers, it comes with some toll, right? So it comes with the exhaustion of just feeling like your brain is running all the time. It can come with anxiety or overwhelm. It can come with a lot of indecision or feeling like you have to think through every possible scenario before you do make a decision. It could come with disconnection from yourself, from your physical body, from the world around you, from people around you, because it feels like you're always in your head and you're never in the present moment. So most of us believe our thoughts automatically, right? Most of us believe our brains and we feel like we need to engage with our brains all the time. And in fact, when our brain is playing out scenarios, it really feels like we have to give them airtime. And in fact, it's a smart or prudent thing to do to think through, for instance, worst case scenarios. But the truth is, we don't have to. You don't have to believe your brain. And your brain is not telling the ultimate truth in the universe. Your brain is telling some version of the truth that it learned. And in fact, it's just repeating its most practiced version of the quote unquote truth, right? So if you're watching me, you can see like the truth, right? The truth is what actually is the truth. I'm not even sure there is a truth. There are just many, many different things that we tend to believe. And in fact, in any one moment, and I can say this, I tend to shy away from absolutes, but I think at any one moment, it's usually generally true that most of us can believe more than one thing at the same time. And in fact, the thing that our brain is presenting us with is just the thought that we've practiced the most. So a belief and a truth, in fact, is just something that your brain has repeated over and over again. So for instance, somebody can say something about themselves, like I'm lazy, and they can say it like it's the truth in the universe. But in fact, at some point in time, they are not lazy. Lazy is not like a character trait that you have or were born with. It is something that some point in time, somebody said to you, your brain kind of bought into it or believed it because it thought that that would help it make acceptable to this person or safer. And then you've just been repeating it to yourself since then, maybe since you were 5 years old, right? And you said, oh, okay, I'm lazy. This person thinks I'm lazy. I'm lazy. This is who I am. It's a thought you've been having. And because we know thoughts also create our results in the world, you've maybe created the result of being more lazy, but this is just a habit your brain is in. So I mentioned Byron Katie before. The work is amazing, right? And if you haven't read any of her work or you haven't, if you're not familiar with it, please go look up Byron Katie. I know sometimes other people's voices aren't for us and we usually find teachers that we love. So I'm going to try and present my version of this, right? So here are three steps that you can use in the moment using these two questions, right? So the first is to try and catch the thought. And if you listen to episode, I think it was 49, where we went into avoiding thoughts or like shutting your brain up, this is where why we don't want to shut our brain up to. Not only does it allow us to regulate our nervous system and come into like a calmer place within our brain, but it also allows you to actually see your thoughts and see and hear your thoughts, right? So you want to try and catch the thought. I just used the one, I'm lazy. I'm messing everything up. They're mad at me. Something's going to go wrong, right? Catch the thought that's happening, the thought that your brain is repeating. And this came up actually in a group coaching session recently where one of my clients kept, you know, they noticed, oh, if my brain is like saying something louder and louder, sometimes I just need to voice it. And I love using the preface, my brain is telling me I'm messing everything up. My brain is telling me they must be mad at me. My brain is telling me I'm taking too long. My brain is telling me I'm going to get this wrong. And what happens when I say that my brain is telling me, it starts to put a little bit of distance between me and the belief. It starts to introduce the idea to me that my brain is not telling the truth, but it is in fact just, it is repeating something to me. And as it's repeating something or it's saying something to me, I get to choose me, the person, the observer behind the thoughts, right? I am not my thoughts. I am the person experiencing the thoughts or having the thoughts. And so the me that's behind the thoughts, when I say my brain is telling me, I start to create just a little bit of space between me and the thought. I start to introduce the idea that the thought is not 100% true. And then I ask myself, usually with as much love and compassion as I can, as I ask myself, is this true? Is this ultimately 100% true? And what this does is it helps me to take a breath. It helps me to come into the moment. It usually gives me some perspective. And so if I'm saying something categorically, like they must be mad at me, and I ask myself, is that true? I might be able in that moment, as soon as I've taken the breath and I've created a little bit of space, I might be able to say to myself, I don't actually know that to be a fact. They have not told me I am mad at you in as many words, right? Maybe they sent me a text that said, we need to talk. I think that's the example that I gave in the other episode too. We need to talk. And so I can start to see, okay, this is just one perspective that I'm taking on this thought. I've given the thought. And honestly, sometimes I don't even need to ask, is it true? Because even just saying the thought out loud, my brain is telling me this, allows me to like let it go. Because I automatically say, oh, that's not true, right? My brain is telling me that I'm behind right now. And I can take a breath and I can say like, oh, that's not true, right? My brain is telling me this person doesn't support me. Oh, I know just by saying that that's not true. But asking, is it true? And really even asking this out loud if you can, or writing it down, getting it not just a conversation that's quiet in your head, but outside of you can be really powerful. So is this true? You slow down the automatic belief. You invite curiosity. And then with that curiosity, you start to ask, what else could be true? In this moment, is there another thing? Is there something else that I already believe right now? And the cool thing, like I said at the beginning of this episode, very often we believe more than one thing at a time. And when we take the breath and we slow things down, what you're doing is you're starting to invite regulation within your nervous system. And once the regulation is present within your nervous system, your brain can actually think more creatively and cognitively. And so when you ask yourself, is there another way I could view this? Is this true? Is there something else I could believe right now? What it does is start your brain down that path. And your brain can see usually at least one, but oftentimes more than one explanation for whatever is happening. So you're not trying to force yourself, you're not trying to shut your brain up, right? Back to episode 49, you're not trying to shut your brain up. What you're trying to do is you're trying to invite curiosity. You're trying to get your brain to speak so you can understand what's going on. And you're interrupting your patterning. You're interrupting the normal neural pathway that goes on. Somebody doesn't text me back right away, and my brain goes into this pattern of they must be mad at me. And what we're doing is we're slowing down that time. We're recognizing the stimulus and the reaction. We're recognizing what happens. We're slowing it down. We're inviting curiosity and compassion into that space. And then we can start to rewire our brain and create a new neural pathway. So you might ask yourself, where would I like to start doing this work? Is there some pattern where I do have, if people don't text me back, I start to spiral about it? Or when my partner does this, I get into this patterning about it. Ask if there's a place in your life where you'd like to feel differently or think differently, or you know that there is this pattern. And then you can start asking, is it true? Then the door starts opening to all the other things that are going on underneath it and where you can start showing up for yourself or caring for yourself differently. So what's one thought you've had today that you may have used this question, or you might actually ask yourself, even generally, not even in big situations, is there something else I could believe here? So for instance, if someone cuts you off in traffic and your first thought is they're a jerk, you might ask, is that true? And you could say, no, I don't actually know that they're a jerk. And you could ask yourself, could something else be true? Yeah, they could be trying to, you know, they could be trying to get to the hospital, right? Something else could be happening. After you've caught the thought and after you've worked with yourself, then you can start to change this neural pathway, change the patterning of your brain. Your mind is so powerful, but it oftentimes does not know the whole story. It doesn't, I keep seeing numbers on this. I've heard that your brain filters out 99.9995% of information And so you are receiving a very, very small part of the reality around you, which means that your brain is filtering most of the story out anyway, and it's filtering based on your own reticular activating system and salience network cues that you've given it before. We can start to change those. You have to do it kind of intentionally, but you have to recognize the story that's already there and that it's intentionally telling you so that you can, or unintentionally telling you, so that you can get it to intentionally tell you something different, right? You're putting yourself back in the driver's seat. You're giving yourself more influence over your brain so that you can feel differently and be different in your world and in your life. All right. These are questions that I use all the time, that my clients use all the time, that I use in coaching all the time. Use them with yourself. See how they shift and change how you show up with your own brain. And if you want to do this work in a supported way, because it is hard to do it yourself, it is hard to start to see your own thoughts if you are not practiced at it. And in fact, it can lead to a lot of shame. It can lead to a lot of kind of new neural pathways that you might not actually want either. Get in touch. Come join the Life Lab. Talk to me about it. We'll drop a link to have a consult about joining my group or one-to-one coaching. Because if you're listening to this and it resonates and you're nodding along and you think, I'd really want to do this work, I think that this would work in my brain, there's a good chance you're a good fit for the program. And I'd love to talk to you about it and answer questions, right? It's a fun way to explore what you want to shift and change in your life as well. All right. Thank you so much for being here. It was a pleasure. We are, we're almost at our last episode for the year, I think. And we've been here for a while, which is very exciting. Thanks for listening, if you're listening, and come say hi if you'd like to. I'd love to hear from you. All right, I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Calmer Conversations. Take what you learned today and use it in your life. Even if it feels a little awkward or clumsy at first, remember these are practices and that real change comes from implementation. Then send me a message over on Instagram or TikTok and let me know what worked or didn't work. If you want to dig deeper into something from today's episode, all of the resources can be found at the link below in the show notes. If you liked this episode, there's a great chance that you'll love working with me. Join my monthly coaching community by visiting me on Instagram or my website, www.ceciliabmandrick.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and I'll see you back here next Thursday.